When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Nerd with Friends. My name is Cody Leach. As always, I'm joined by Christian Garcia.
Buenos!
For those of you who watched the episode last week, you might be noticing we're wearing the exact same outfits. That's because we're starting a new shorter format of the show. We're going to be doing a little bit shorter episodes. But the hope is that the episodes are more condensed, less of us rambling, and more content that you guys love, and more regular of a schedule. So I hope you guys like that. Make sure to like and subscribe. Check out all the Patreon website, you know, all that good stuff. Helps support the show. We do appreciate all that. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, the new movie out in theaters now. And spoiler alert, it was great. But we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. First, let's start off with some nerdy confessions where we confess the things that make us nerds. Christian, why don't you start with a nerdy confession this time?
My nerdy confession, even though I'm extremely upset with the pricing of packs of Magic the Gathering and the new set, the Masters.
Commander Masters.
I still bought like four packs, man. And they
are expensive.
Super. Now, I will say, I definitely got some good cards. So I got lucky, which is weird. I never get lucky with packs. So shout out to Heretic Games in San Bruno. They let me pick the packs, which most shops, you know, never offer. And I got some good cards. But I will say, I only got like one decently priced card out of the collectors, which that collectors alone pack is $80, man, $79.99. But all the good stuff was from the set boosters. So right.
Yeah, so a lot of people are kind of up in arms about this set being overly priced, and I agree. Like the collector's booster box for like a normal set coming out, like Brothers War or Phyrexia will be one. Like a set or a collector's box has like, I think, six packs in it or something. I have one right here.
I thought it was like 12 or something.
I think it's like six or eight. 12. Oh, you're right. 12. Okay. So 12 boosters in a collector's, and normally it's like $250, right? Which is still a lot of money, right? But for this one, it was like four packs, and it was like $200 or $210 or something for a collector booster box, which is insane. And then for a set booster box, which is normally like $110, it was like $330 for 24 packs instead of 36. So it's just overpriced as all hell. I haven't even bought any yet, which is rare for me on a new set coming out, but I'm sure I will eventually, you know.
I mean, I did manage to get a Demonic Tutor.
Yeah, Smothering Tithe.
Smothering Tithe. And I'm not going to butcher the name of the Asian-inspired card, but it's the one where you get
an extra turn.
And then there were some other cards that were like 20, 30, 40 bucks.
Yeah.
I definitely got my money back if I sell them, which I won't, of course. But
it's nice to know you're getting your value out of it.
Right, for sure. But then again, I got nothing amazing out of the collector's pack. Had I bought only collector packs and got absolutely nothing, like, I would have been super fucking upset.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just goes to show the addiction is hard, man. Like, I still got them.
Yeah. Yeah. My, I haven't bought it yet, but I might today. We'll see. Yeah, I've got the itch. Got the itch. My wallet's crying out to be exploited.
Now I know you were looking at a deck. Which one are you leaning towards?
I'm thinking about getting the enchantment deck.
I thought you were going to do the Eldrazi.
I really want the Eldrazi too, but like, man, those decks are $80, and it's like I can't really justify because I don't really.
I don't know the cards in there, and I don't know the value of the cards, so I don't know if 80 is reasonable. So
the Command Zone podcast, which is a popular Magic the Gathering channel, they did a breakdown of like the value of the reprinted cards in there, and like to give you an idea of what to expect normally, like in a normal pre-constructed deck, like any of the Baldur's Gate ones or Phyrexial will be one. Generally speaking, in a $40, $40 to $45 commander deck, you get about $100 worth of reprinted Magic cards of value $100. So you always get a pretty good value, right? Sometimes you get way more, which is great. Sometimes you get a little less, which is kind of shitty. You always get about $100. In these ones, which are twice the price, $80 or so for a commander deck, the reprinted values is sitting right around like $150, $160, which is like okay, well, it's $150. That's cool. But then if you divide that by half, that means it's only about $70 if it was a normal pre-constructed deck. So they're just not pumping the value in it. But the way I justify it to myself is one of the new decks I want to build is an Enchantress deck, which cares about how many enchantments you're putting onto the battlefield. And the enchantment pre-constructed deck has a lot of staples in there that you would use for such deck. So because I already wanted to build a deck like that, it seems like I can kind of justify it. The Eldrazi one sounds awesome because they're big, giant creatures. Eldrazis are vicious. But I don't know. I don't foresee that deck having a really good, like, rebuilding value to build it with a bunch of other stuff. But
it's crazy because the Eldrazi one's more expensive, too.
Yeah. It's just because it's the first colorless pre-constructed deck ever made, so. I don't know. We'll see what I end up buying. I might buy both of them. Who knows? Such is life of a Magic fan. My nerdy confession. We won't go into it a whole lot, but Secret Invasion, the new Marvel TV show on Disney Plus, is over and done with. And what started off as a very promising show kind of real fizzled out at the end for me. I was not a fan at all of the end. And it's real disappointing because like it seemed like it was set up to be something really cool, but then it just turned into a shitty CGI slugfest at the end. And I was just like, bummer. Such a bummer. Now, you were a fan of it. You liked it?
I liked it. I mean, spoilers, but it's also, it ended, what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago or something?
By this time, yeah.
Like, I would have liked to have seen the Super Skrulls be, you know, actually have the powers of the Fantastic Four. Maybe introduce maybe not even show the Fantastic Four. But
just show the rock hand, the flame hand, and the stretchy and the
visible. Yeah. Have it be a mystery of how they got it. You know, they've been hiding all along or whatever, you know, they're in a different dimension. There's a lot of ways they could have done it, but that was a little... light. I got a little bummed because of it, but I mean, it did die out a little bit, but I was enjoying that it had a huge feel of Winter Soldier, like, you know, espionage kind of feel with Nick Fury, which honestly, one of my favorite scenes in Winter Soldier was Nick Fury in the car getting away from all these guys that were trying to kill him. Like, and
that was great. Yeah.
There were some parts like that, but I mean, I still enjoyed it because it didn't feel, and I think this is the problem with a lot of the Marvel stuff, is I feel like it's made for people who have like attention deficit disorder, like things have to happen quick, or there need to be jokes every, you know, 10, like the 30 seconds. And it always feels like they're just trying to copy Ragnarok, and this one didn't feel like that. So to me, it was refreshing that they did something outside of that equation. So
I can see that for sure. Like it was definitely a different Marvel property than we're used to seeing, which is cool. I think the thing that really, really bummed it, you know, really broke the whole thing down for me was, you know, you have shape-shifting aliens, and the whole point of Secret Invasion is you don't know who to trust, right? And there just really wasn't a lot of that in this, right? Like, there was no big turns or anything that happened. Like, and again, spoilers, you know, if you haven't seen it, shouldn't be listening to this, but like one of the big ones is Rhodey, or War Machine turns out to be a Skrull, right? But from the beginning, every interaction he had with Nick Fury, he's being an asshole, and he's never shown any sort of like animosity towards him before. And I'm like, oh, he's obviously a Skrull. And so like the reveal didn't really make sense to me. Like, it wasn't a big shock to me. I'm like, obviously he was a Skrull, right? And there was a lot of that where it was like, there was no big double crosses or anything. There was no big like reveals for me. It was just like a nonstop, like, oh, this guy shows up, he's probably a Skrull. You know, it's like, okay, cool. Well, you know, everyone's revealed instantly. Where it would have been different if Rhodey was helping Nick Fury along throughout most of the series, and then just when you think that Fury's got Gravik, the main bad guy, cornered or whatever, then Rhodey double crosses him and reveals he's a Skrull. That would have been more impactful than what we saw in the show. So it just kind of missed a mark for me, but you know, I think there's other YouTube channels out there who spent a lot of time dissecting it and stuff. So check those guys out. It was just kind of missed a mark for me. I hope the next one's better. Okay, well, let's take a quick little break for our ads and whatnot. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was not a disappointment. So while you listen to those ads, make sure you click like and subscribe. We'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. All right. If you were telling me even like a year ago that there's going to be a new Ninja Turtle animated movie coming to theaters, I would have been like, big whoop-de-doo. No one cares. Who cares? Ninja Turtles haven't been good in so long. But I will say I was pleasantly surprised by this one. How did, spoiler free for the movie, so in the beginning here, how did you like the movie, Christian?
It was great, man. It was really good, even with you telling me beforehand that you really enjoyed it. My expectations were high, and it was great, man. Definitely recommend people watching it. Go watch it twice so we can get more great content. Fucking Seth Rogen, man, coming out with some bangers, dude.
Yeah. This, yeah, I think that's a big part of having someone who obviously loves the property.
Yeah. You can feel it. Yeah, you can feel. You could tell that Seth Rogen is a huge fan of Ninja
Turtles. He had all the same toys I did, you know?
You could tell that Michael Bay didn't even know what a Ninja Turtle was.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think without giving anything away right now, I'd say my best review is it's like, it's what Enter the Spider-Verse was to Spider-Man. This movie is to Ninja Turtles. You know, I think it was that good, and it is going to hopefully propel the future of the Ninja Turtles into the future. And we'll see a lot of great stuff come from this. But let's get into some spoilers, Christian. Let's talk about the nitty gritty parts of the movie that we liked and even parts that we didn't like, if there were a few. This movie, basically, it really focuses on the teenage part of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? I think a lot of the original cartoon even, and the, you know, the live action movies, and even the Michael Bay movies, all the turtles seemed older than teenaged, you know, like maybe they were late teens, like, or whatever, but the original live action movie, they were straight up like fully grown men basically. And this one, they really have a younger feel to them. And their relationship with Splinter is much more of, you know, sons and a father than like, you know, ninjas and their master kind of thing. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really fun to see that relationship. And then part about this one is they're fighting other mutants led by Superfly, which is voiced by Ice Cube, and his gang of other mutants, which include Bebop and Rocksteady.
Wingnut. Mondo.
Leatherhead. Mondo Gecko. What's the Stingray's name? Ray Finn or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know who the voice actor was, but he was great.
It was Post Malone.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's why he was singing.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
It was so good.
I was like,
Mondo Gecko was Paul Rudd.
Yeah, and see, you beat me too, because I was like listening to Mondo and I was like, I know this voice. This is a very likable guy, and he plays a very like, even when he was a villain, he's a very likable villain. And then Yeah, it was like somewhere towards the final act when they're fighting the boss. I'm like, that's Paul Rudd. And I leaned over, it's Paul Rudd. It's Paul Rudd. It's like, no, it's not. I was like, yeah, it's definitely Paul Rudd.
Yeah, and then Seth Rogen was Bebop, and then John Cena was Rocksteady.
I was surprised because I knew, Seth Rogen was Bebop. It was definitely obvious. But I was like, who's Rocksteady? I was like, that also sounded kind of similar. I was like, John Cena. I was like, well, no idea.
And then I think Leatherhead was Rose Byrne, who she's really funny too. She's been in a lot of Seth Rogen movies and stuff. You'd know her if you saw her. It was great. Jackie Chan, we should say.
I knew right away as soon as like he started speaking, I was like, that's Jackie Chan. And so no, it's not. I was like, that's super Jackie Chan.
Dude, like, Jackie Chan was so funny in it too. Like the lines they had him say, like, he's like, you ratted us out. He's like, hey, don't use that word.
Not like that.
Not like that. the whole him like as a single dad and stuff, growing these little turtles and stuff.
Although I would say, I will say it was fucking hilarious that they gave him a Chinese voice, but made him super Jewish looking. It was fucking hilarious. Yeah. And he had the Jufro.
With the mustache.
The mustache. And like, they did, I love that they paid, you know, homage to like the original like outfit with the big shoulder pads, but it was definitely like a dad sweater, cardigan that was like cut up and stuff.
Yeah. It was great. The humor was great. There's a lot of jokes in there that were definitely geared towards an older audience for sure, but then kids would enjoy it too, I think. The animation style was great. Like
It's crazy the animation style, because yes, it had something similar to Spider-Verse, but it was very stylized, but there were certain parts where the color and the hues were so good that it's like it almost looked real. Like in particular the action scenes right in the beginning, or when the human bad guys were stealing some of the equipment, and they shot it like a action film. And It was really cool. It was crazy. It was good. I'm actually surprised you liked the art style, because I thought it had the elements of what you hated in the new Spider-Verse, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think for me it was the fact that it was designed to be very like stylized and like very like neon colors and very saturated colors and things like that was fine to me. But like the thing that always bothered me about the second Spider-Verse was when you actually saw like the pencil lines
which was crazy to me, because when the turtles were beat up, you see almost like pastel or crayon lines of what like their bruises were, And I thought you would have disliked that, but it was cool.
I don't mind it being, you know, artist like stylized, right? It is very much a comic book style. You know, it looks like the back of a cereal box or something, right? But the like specifically when there's pencil lines that float out in front of the person's body, that's what kind of I was like, I don't like that. I don't know. It's a visceral reaction that I had to the newest Spider-Verse. And I didn't see that in the first Spider-Verse,
No.
you know? But like I do like you know how like the further out in the city you are, the less like focused and defined everything is. That to me I thought was cool. You know, and you're right, I think it in certain scenes it did almost look like realistic. It almost looked like a weird claymation or something.
Yeah. It was really dope. Yeah.
I thought they did a great job. And I think they also did a good job not focusing on the Shredder from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because like I think that's the same way that a lot of Batman movies go wrong, is it's always about Batman and the Joker, right? And it doesn't always have to be, you know, like we know there's other bad guys out there. The Ninja Turtles have, you know, again, that original show, the cartoon show based off the comic books, was like it was made to sell toys, you know what I mean? And so there's this huge backlog of different villains, and I think focusing on some of the other weird mutants out there, I think was a cool choice. And you know, now yes, at the end there was a little you know, teaser for the Shredder coming in the next movie or show or whatever, but it not focusing on him, because like if you beat the Shredder in the first outing, he doesn't make him seem like that big of a bad guy, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I'm glad they focused on other stuff for sure.
I was pleasantly surprised when I didn't see we're doing spoilers, right? So the big bat or what Ice Cube had turned into towards the end, I had no idea that was coming, because when they were fighting him inside what would obviously to me seemed obviously the Technodrome, because it had like all the elements, the hole and the little laser that was shooting out. But when they're fighting him there, and even Splinter sees like, oh, I was wrong, like I was being similar to him, to Superfly. And I was like, well, this is the end of the film. I was like, well, it was great, you know, it was like, you know, I would have wished for a more epic fight, but it was cool, it had a nice message. And then it just completely, I was like, oh, did not fucking see that coming. That's fucking awesome. So,
It was so good. And when he gets shot with the anti-mutant thing and hits him in the leg, he's like,
one horse.
"One horse? I don't need that horse." It was so good. Yeah, it was I like that they kind of like they didn't settle for like a basic kids movie ending to it. It got more epic towards the end. And you know, I love the chick that they got to play April O'Neil. I thought that
She's
was a
from the Bear.
Oh, is she? Oh, is
Yeah.
it it's the
The chef.
yeah, the second in command chef.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was great. I thought that was awesome. I like that they were going to Eastman High, you know, and then there was a Laird sign earlier in the movie. Eastman and Laird are the guys who wrote the original Ninja Turtles. I think Kevin Eastman was one of the background voices too, and for one of the characters. I saw his name in the credits. But yeah, it was a great show, man. And like they've already announced now that there's going to be a sequel movie, but also a sequel TV show, right?
Yeah, and a show.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see where they go with this. You know, like there's such a rich lore in the Ninja Turtles, you know, ethos, mythos, that I think that they have a lot, they can go a lot of different places. I will say, if I had one critique, is that Bebop and Rocksteady turning good at the end was a mistake, I think, because they are like classic Ninja Turtle henchmen who never really joined over the good side. Maybe they did in some
They
point.
could still flip. You never know.
Yeah, I just think that was the only part of the movie that kind of took me out of it. I'm like, well, they're on their side now? Like it would be different if they're like, no, we're gonna stand by Superfly and all the other guys, help the turtles. I'm okay with that. But and then they like bitch out at the end and run away or something. But now, you know, they're living with Splinter and stuff. I was just like, ugh, I don't like that part. That was the one part that felt kind of weird for me. Do you have any critiques of the
You know, my initial gut reaction when they were doing the backstory. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they're not doing the original. He's from Japan.
Right.
And you know, he didn't teach them ninjutsu from what he learned from his owner. But I was like, because it reminded me of the Michael Bay mistake that was so bad. But in this one, they did it well, because like we said earlier, like, you can tell Seth Rogen is an actual like fan of the property and loved it. That it was done well, and it just suited, it made the story so much better and what they were going for. And also, like, the cartoon that we grew up with that we loved was different than the comics. The comics were very dark, and it's just like each rendition is for that generation, you know? It's like that 90s attitude, you know, Ninja Turtles, that was us. And this one, you know, I was like, this is for the next generation, you know? It's moving on. The next group of kids, and it's like it was done well, that it was easy to move past, but a yeah. knee-jerk reaction was just like, oh, they're not doing that. And then I was like, no, it makes sense, and it was done really funny, you know. And it yeah. made sense when Splinter takes them out into the world, and everyone's like, ah, fucking freaks, that's yeah. not a Jewish guy with ugly kids, that's a fucking rat, you know. It's yeah. like
yeah I think you're right. I think, you know, it's okay for me for things to evolve. And I think I think that's one thing that a lot of nerds have a hard time with, is watching a property that they grew up with change with the modern generation, right? And I think if it's done poorly, it can be very hard, right? If it's, you know, if they completely change, like the He-Man, Kevin Smith one was a perfect example, right? Where it's like, They completely change what He-Man is about to fit what they think the modern generation wants to hear. But it's like, well, like, it's okay for it to evolve, but let's still make it about He-Man if it's called Masters of the Universe, you know, that sort of thing. And I think while some of the details were changed in this one, it's still very much about that relationship between this adopted father and these four young, you know, turtles who, you know, learning ninjutsu and fighting against the force of evil and searching for their place in the world, kind of thing. I think the spirit of it is still there, and it's close enough where it it respects the original content, and it's different enough where it keeps it fresh and exciting, you know.
I mean, and it definitely worked. Like, those turtles were obviously fucking nerdy kids that just wanted to fit in. You right. know, and like, it, you know, who the fuck didn't want that growing up as a nerd? Like, I just want to fit in, man. Like, right. I just want to fit in with the crowd. Exactly. And it definitely.
Just want
to
be a kid.
Yeah, I just want to be a fucking kid, man. And it had a message, and it definitely worked. You could tell, like, oh, Seth Rogen was probably picked on. Yeah. He just wanted to fucking fit in. And this is the story he's telling, man. Yeah. And it was well done. Dude, like, she's going to be mad for me saying this, but Sabrina cried like twice. Like, watch this yeah. thing. They just wanted to fit in. They just yeah. wanted to be like, they were such good boys. Like, that's all they were.
When he has the pizza party for them at the end.
Oh, that was that
Chris
part.
Pine. Yeah. All the Chris's. Or
when he thinks they're coming home, and it's everybody, oh, are you guys done being mad at me? It's like, oh, he just wanted his boys home. That's all he wanted.
I know. I loved it. I loved every minute.
When he shows up to save them, he's like, I'm here to save you, even though you lied to me.
Jackie Chan killed it on that role. It was so good.
I even loved when he's fighting, he was using his environment and getting hit. They did it like how he fights in his movies. It was so well done.
Yeah, 100%. It was great. Everyone needs to go out and see it and support the movie, because it's rare that we get something like this where it meets and exceeds all expectations. And, you know, we got to support movies like that when they come out, like Spider-Verse, you know, because we want to see more of that stuff. We don't want to see more Michael Bay bullshit, right? You know, we want to see stuff where it's like adapting the stuff we like by people who obviously liked it too. And that's, I mean, that's all you can really ask for in movies and stuff. So,
well, right now we're probably going to get more Barbie movies because it's chilling. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I'm actually, because it's doing so well, I'm like, fuck, maybe I should go watch Barbie. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, for sure. Let's do it. Like, you know, just because like I was not into Barbie doesn't mean there's not a whole generation of girls out there and boys. You know, I'm sure there's some too that grew up with that. And to see that in movie form, you know, there is, has been a dream of theirs kind of thing, even if they didn't know it. Right. So I'm all for it. You know, I haven't seen it yet either, but you know, I will be watching it eventually to kind of see what all the hype's about. Cause you know, if something's good, it should be rewarded for being good. You know, it's like, you know, movies with the way movies have been going the past few years since COVID, like we got to support the ones that are good because, you know, we want more. I don't want movies to go away, you know, and if we people stay out of the theaters, you know, there's very little motivation for them to keep putting out good movies. You know,
well, so. Hopefully the writer's strike will fucking end soon. I don't know. I don't know what we can do to help, but
yeah. I think, you know, it's just, it's tough because, like, the studios just need to pay people a living wage. And, you know, until that gets settled, you know, the people who are suffering are the writers who are already suffering. And then us as the fans, the studio heads, they're still making money. They're still making their money off of me with Netflix, my Netflix subscription every month because it's too much of a pain in the ass to cancel it and then have to re-sign up for it, you know? So,
yeah, because Deadpool got pushed back.
Everything got pushed back.
Yeah, I mean,
Raven the Hunter, your favorite movie, is pushed back like a year.
Oh, so bummed out by it.
Yeah, but
the only hope that I had is at least they're introducing him, and maybe they will insert these characters into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, into, you know, the Tom Holland movies, and then, you know, Marvel Studios will just fix them, like they did Garfield. You know, so we'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. Let us know what you guys thought. If you saw Ninja Turtles, drop it down in the comments. Did you like the movie? What was your favorite mutant in it? We'd love to hear from you guys. Make sure while you're down there, you like and subscribe. Click all the little buttons that they ask you to. And then check out patreon.com/nerdswithfriends. Help support the show today. And let us know if you like these shorter episodes. It's a new thing we're trying out. Try to make sure that we're releasing episodes on a regular basis. So let us know if you like it. We do love hearing from you guys. And we'll see you guys again next week. Christian, thanks for being the, which Ninja Turtle do you want to be?
I've always, you know, younger me would have identified more with Ralph.
Ralph?
I don't know, with these.
Who's Ralph?
Yeah, man. Raphael.
Raphael?
Raphael. He was always, you know, the angry one.
Yeah.
Little angry kid. Now, I don't know. Maybe. Guess Donatello, he's probably the most chill one, right? The more
probably. Probably, yeah. Well, thanks for being the Donatello to my Michelangelo. With all the nerds out there, remember, you're not alone. You're with friends. Cowabunga, dude. Have a good one.